Unisa Radio. The African Voice. It's all about you.
It is Unisa Radio, the African Voice, where it's all about you. Time just went 9:47. I do apologize that the interview is starting late. Remember, I did tell you that we will be in discussion with Sister Elsie Naika, and we'll be talking Diabetes Awareness Month, and she'll be educating us on everything regarding diabetes, from the causes, maybe the statistics of, you know, how many people are living with diabetes and how it should be treated, how it should be maintained, what should be your diet, any new trials, you know, clinical trials that might help manage the disease. So she is on the line right now, and please follow us on Twitter at Unisa Radio, and on Facebook we are Unisa Radio. I really would like to have you engage with us, so I'll read out your comments a little bit after the interview. Sister Naika, thank you very much for joining us. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you, Denayo, for having me.
Yes, so we're discussing Diabetes Awareness Month, as November is the month to raise awareness around diabetes. And it's one of, you know, the diseases that is affecting a lot of lives in the people of South Africa. So what are the main causes of diabetes?
Okay, Denayo, when we look at diabetes, there is no one single cause. So when we look at diabetes, we look at the risk factors. So many risk factors contribute to diabetes. I'll just outline a little bit of the risk factors now. So firstly, being overweight and inactive. When people are overweight, they have something, a condition called insulin resistance, where they have more fatty tissue, and that does not allow the cells to use the insulin properly. And then physical inactivity, where people are not active at all, and this can lead to being overweight and unhealthy. The other thing is unhealthy eating patterns. So you know, those are the three main risk factors we look at, especially when we look at the lifestyle contributor to diabetes. And one of the things that's driving diabetes in South Africa is obesity. So it's one of the main drivers of diabetes,
wow,
actually.
Okay. And, I mean, what are the early signs of diabetes?
Okay. Here again, I'd really like to talk about this, because people would think, okay, we need to wait for the signs and symptoms to get to the doctor.
Yes.
Diabetes is a silent condition. And that means that if your blood glucose levels are higher than normal, you can, you know, do your general chores, lead, you know, your life quite well, where, you know, there's nothing stopping you from doing anything because you're not feeling anything. And that is why we call it a silent condition. And therefore, it's very important to go for screening tests. And I'll talk a little bit more about, you know, the other risk factors a little later. But when we look at signs and symptoms, the main signs and symptoms is when people are unusually thirsty, they go to toilet often, especially at night, to pass urine, blurred vision. But most of the times, these symptoms come up when the blood glucose levels have, you know, gone quite higher than normal. So you could have high blood glucose levels and not feel these symptoms. And that's why I must emphasize it's so important to, you know, have blood glucose testing. If you don't mind, can I quickly go over the other risk factors?
Yes, please.
Okay. So if a person has had, you know, gestational diabetes, that means diabetes in pregnancy, it's very important, because once the baby is delivered, the diabetes normally goes away. So it's very important for that person to live a healthy lifestyle, because they're more at risk of getting diabetes later on in life. So it's important for them to check their blood glucose levels often. All right.
Okay.
Also, if people have high blood pressure levels, it's important to check for do blood glucose testing. Family history of diabetes. If mom or dad or brother and sister has diabetes in the family, go and check your blood glucose levels. don't wait for signs and symptoms. And then ethnicity. Now, in South Africa, our Indian population have a genetic predisposition to diabetes. So it's very important to get blood glucose levels tested there. And the other thing is, you know, normally increasing age, we say people 45 years and over are more at risk for diabetes. But nowadays, that's not the case. We're getting many people diagnosed younger and younger, especially with type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know of the youngest type 2 diabetes person being 4 years old. So therefore, very important to, and then young girls, we have young girls with this condition called polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS for short. They also have a risk for diabetes. So there again, it's important to do blood glucose testing.
Mm. And you mentioned something earlier, Sister Naika, that when somebody has diabetes during pregnancy. Now, how does that, I don't remember the term that you mentioned there, but how does that occur that somebody lives their lives, you know, without having diabetes, and then as soon as they get pregnant, they get diabetes, and then afterwards they deliver the baby, then they don't have diabetes anymore, but they're at a higher risk of getting it as time goes on. Please explain the process for us.
Okay. So the term is gestational diabetes. That means the diabetes is only diagnosed in pregnancy. And normally, you know, within the after the first trimester, most of them are diagnosed if they do have it. So it's basically due to the, you know, in pregnancy, many hormones are involved, and insulin is also a hormone. So it's a stress factor that's placed on the body. And also, if that person, before they fell pregnant, you know, was overweight, that also contributes to gestational diabetes. And with gestational diabetes, the other thing I didn't tell you is that the baby is also at risk in the future for diabetes. And remember, the word risk does not mean that person will get the condition. It means that it can be prevented.
Okay.
So, so it's that stress placed on the body during pregnancy. It could be other contributing factors, for example, having, you know, lots of fat, especially around the abdomen, you know, prior to being pregnant. So that is basically, you know, what contributes to gestational diabetes.
Mm. And before we get to the prevention, let's talk about the screenings that you mentioned. How often should one go for a blood glucose screening?
Okay, so it's a simple finger prick. So they can have it done at any pharmacy or when they go to the hospital clinic or to their doctors. And if they're younger than, you know, 45 and the glucose levels is within normal, but they have risk factors, example, parents, then, you know, once in 3 years is fine.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah.
And let's talk about prevention then. Is diabetes preventable, and how can one prevent diabetes?
Absolutely, it is absolutely preventable. So here again, we look at the risk factors.
Mm.
What are the risk factors? And some of the risk factors are modifiable. When I say modifiable, it means you can do something about it. So if they're overweight, become more active physically, walk at least half an hour, five times a week as a starting, and then increase the pace, increase the time. Because if you want to lose weight, half an hour of walking five times a week, it's not going to help. It's going to help, yes, for general well-being, for maybe, you know, keeping blood glucose levels within the range, keeping blood pressures within the range, you know, increasing your feel-good hormones so that, you know, your stress is relieved. But it's important to increase the timing and the pace of the activity. It doesn't only have to be walking. It could be anything that catches your fancy. Maybe you like cycling. Maybe you like swimming. Maybe you like dancing. Maybe you like yoga. Maybe you go to the gym for a workout, but you do not have to go to the gym. You can use everyday things that you have at home. You know, you can use your stand against your chair, strength and you know, do different exercises. You can use bean bags, you can use tins, you know, baked beans tins, put them into a packet, use it for resistance exercises to work your muscles.
Mm.
And then eating. At least 50% of the calories won is if, you know, you eat healthy, you follow a healthy eating pattern. Basically, eating what you have in the cupboard, but everything in moderation, decreasing your starch amounts and, you know, things like that.
Mm.
And the other thing is your blood pressure. Try to keep the blood pressure stable. If your blood pressure is out of range, you have a higher risk for diabetes.
Mm.
And even if there's a family history, and even people, you know, I spoke about ethnicity, genetic predisposition, they can also prevent diabetes by a healthy lifestyle. If they do have to get the diabetes eventually, it's better to get it when they're older, maybe in the 60s and 70s, than when they are younger.
Okay, I think maybe repeat that one for us.
Yeah.
Sister?
Yes?
I was asking if it would be possible for you to repeat the last statement that you just said. That you just said about 60, about getting it, it's better getting it when you're older than when you're younger?
Yes, yes. Because remember, diabetes, type 2 diabetes is a progressive condition, and that's what I'm talking about. I'll talk about the other ones just now. But type 2 diabetes, a progressive condition.
Mm.
So what happens is when you diagnose, the doctor will always tell you, hey, you know what, you've had diabetes 7 to 10 years, you know, that's when your blood glucose level started going out of range, but you weren't symptomatic. So when you diagnose, that's what happens. But as you go on, as your life progresses, the cells that make insulin in the pancreas, we call them the beta cells, they start getting damaged eventually.
Mm.
And so there is a genetic, gradual progression of that diabetes. So imagine if a person, they already diagnosed with diabetes, and if there's poor control, the quality of life is impacted, as compared to if you can prevent that diabetes, if you can prevent it as long as you can. And genetically, we know sometimes, you know, you can only do so much.
Mm.
And if there are other factors, for example, obesity and physical inactivity and poor eating habits, if you can control those factors, then yes, if you get it later on in life, whether you're in 60 and 70, then you'll find that you still have some cells making insulin.
Mm.
And the complications of diabetes is not, you know, there's not it's not as bad as, for example, if you're uncontrolled earlier on in your life.
Mm. And let's talk about when you have diabetes. What are then the measures that one should take in terms of diet?
I can't hear you, Dineo, can you go a little bit louder?
Oh, can you hear me now, sister?
Yes.
Yes, so I was talking about when one has diabetes, what should happen then? What is the diet, in terms of diet, in terms of how to treat it and the medication? And also, is injection the only way, is injection with insulin the only way that one, the only channel that one can explore, in terms of maybe can they also take pills? Is there other medication that is available to help treat diabetes?
Okay, all right. So let me just go quickly to type 1. Type 1 diabetes is when the pancreas does not produce any insulin at all, and sometimes very, very little, until it doesn't produce anything at all.
Mm.
For those people with type 1, they immediately have to go onto insulin.
Okay.
Type 2 diabetes, there's many avenues that we can follow. And remember I said type 2 diabetes is progressive in nature.
Mm.
So our go-to thing, our primary treatment day in type 2 diabetes is for people with diabetes to eat healthy, follow a healthy eating plan, and also to exercise, to at least walk for half an hour, 5 times a week. So those two things are so, so important. And if you need to see a dietitian, if you need to see a diabetes nurse educator, it's very, very important that you do that. And then we look at medication. So medication is not more important than healthy eating, exercise. I think when it comes to chronic conditions, that is something that people need to understand, that exercise and healthy eating plays such an important part. So it's all three are equal, the exercise, the medication, and healthy eating. So normally the first medication that most people with type 2 diabetes go on to is a tablet called metformin. And that tablet actually helps to reduce insulin resistance. Mm. Because most of the time, type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance comes in first, where the pancreas is doing its job. It's producing enough insulin like it should. But there is this condition called insulin resistance where there is a fatty tissue that's not allowing the insulin to work properly in the body, and especially fatty tissue around waist. And that is, and we call that inflammatory fat. So it's a bad fat. Okay. Mm. And then after metformin, what happens, as I said, with progressive nature, the healthy eating, the exercise, and the metformin will help for as long as it can. And then you'll find that the blood glucose levels start rising again. Then the doctor will add on another tablet. And that tablet actually will get the pancreas to produce more insulin. So that's normally the way we go with medication, especially in the public sector. In the public sector, it's metformin, and then it's the second tablet to where it stimulates your pancreas to give you more insulin, and then thirdly, they go to insulin. But in the private sector, it's a bit different because some people have medical aid, and they may have a little bit more money because there are lots of medications on the market, but some medications people need to pay a co-payment for it. And these medications function differently. You have some medications, it's to do with the enzymes in the body and the certain hormones in the body. It helps those hormones to work better. It prevents the enzymes from damaging those enzymes quickly, those hormones quickly. So I don't want to go too much into detail into those, but there's lots of medication out on the market. Mm. In fact, in the last few years, we've been flooded with new medication. Mm. and in tablet form. Some people, and that is a problem with medication, with, those who bought some of these medications and those that cannot, and that is a very sad thing when it comes to diabetes and also many other chronic conditions. So there's many other medications that you can get to before you go on to insulin. And because we're talking about medication, just to let you know, the other injectables other than insulin are for diabetes, and that came out in the market quite a while ago. It helps with reducing blood glucose levels. It also helps in reducing weight. We found that some patients, when they went on these injectables, they found that they lost a lot of weight. And when you lose weight, your insulin works better in your body.
Mm. Wow. Hmm. And what are the top three, maybe, if we can say, or mainly the diseases that diabetes can lead to? And I say this because in my family, we didn't know that our stepfather had diabetes, although he knew and he didn't say anything. And then as time progressed, when he was admitted in hospital 20 years later, because they told him this in 2000, and only last year was he admitted in hospital. Then he started having things like cardiovascular disease, and we knew nothing of that, of those things. So what are the diseases that, what are other diseases that diabetes can lead to?
Okay, now what you're talking about is complications of diabetes.
Oh,
so
okay.
Diabetes is not properly managed, it can lead to complications.
Okay.
Remember, and you know, when we talk diabetes, it's so important to talk about blood pressure and about cholesterol levels, because all these three things affect the blood vessel. And then there are certain organs in our body that is more, you know, susceptible to diabetes complications. So let me look at talk about that. And lately, in a couple of years now, we're talking about diabetes as a cardiovascular disease also because of that complication. Diabetes poorly controlled affects the small blood vessels and the big blood vessels. When we talk about the small blood vessels, it leads to complications, eye complications. So, you know, some people can even go blind if they have poor control. And then kidney complications. And then nerve damage. We call that peripheral neuropathy. Nerve damage to the hands and the feet. So that's very much to do with the small blood vessel. Then when we look at the big blood vessel, we look at the cardiovascular diseases, heart attacks, heart problems. So, and remember, it can be prevented. Complications can be prevented with good diabetes control, with good blood pressure control, with good cholesterol control. So, and complications may come up with most patients with diabetes, but the important thing is that those complications must not impact that patient's quality of life.
And just lastly, Sister Naika, what is it that you would like to say in conclusion?
Okay. This year, World Diabetes Day and the whole Diabetes Month, the theme for this year is nurses make a difference. And to all people with diabetes, there are diabetes nurse educators all over South Africa. And also with the Guidepost, it's a company that does telecoaching. So we, for a couple of years now, we have nurses that do telecoaching, so where they can get to people, even in the most rural areas, to help them with managing their diabetes. But firstly, it is the patient. It's a patient that needs to understand, this is my condition, I should control it. But important to get the information from the diabetes nurse educators. They are well trained, and because your doctor does not have that time to spend that hour with you to tell you how to manage your diabetes. So for me, I think that is the most important thing, that a person with diabetes always sees a diabetes nurse educator. And I'd like to thank all the diabetes nurse educators throughout South Africa for all the good work they're doing. And especially with COVID-19, we didn't speak about that. But diabetes came to the fore with COVID-19, because even though people with diabetes were at the same risk as people without diabetes to get the COVID virus, but when they did get the COVID virus, they got more sick. It took longer to get better. So, and we've had more patients being more concerned about their diabetes. So, which is good. And, to help them to, I'm not saying COVID-19 is good, but I'm saying that they've taken, some of them have now said, okay, I need to take control. I need to keep my blood glucose levels within a normal range. So that's the other thing. People need to know what the range should be.
All right. Sister Naika, thank you very much for your time, and thank you very much for all the wisdom and, insight that you shared with us.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me, Dineo, and I wish everybody, especially people with diabetes, the best in their journey with diabetes.
Thank you. And that was Sister Elsie Naika, who is a diabetes nurse practitioner. She is based in Durban. So if you want to find out more information, or you're living with diabetes and you want to, visit Sister Naika, please make sure that you do that. It is UNISA Radio, the African Voice, where it's all about you.
Visit our Facebook page for updates, interviews, competitions, and much more. UNISA Radio.